Hey, good morning, folks. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific day today. Just got to make another Fit Food Shake with some of the collagen in it. Be sure to check out those products on the site at Team Health Masters. And, of course, the top seller right now, the Berberine Ultimate, on sale for product of the week. Be sure to check that out. We talked about it in detail yesterday and on multiple shows and articles on the website, what it does for blood sugar, glucose metabolism, and also burning body fat. It's the DHB, the dehydroberberine version of it, which is a pretty much cutting-edge formulation that combines the traditional herbal wisdom with berberine and essentially optimizes it for perfect glucose control and blood sugar maintenance with the dihydroberberines. It's like five times more bioavailable than regular berberine. This is one of the reasons why we carry this primarily. The original berberine that we never carried actual regular berberine, because I had done the research on it. And the dosage that you had to take was enormous to actually get the true results from it. So the problem is it wasn't very cost effective for real, true, clean berberine. Now, there's a lot of companies on the market, a lot of them that are on Amazon and some of these other, you know, supplement stores where they claim they do all this stuff. But then when you actually look at the research, the amount, the dosage, and the quality of the berberine, you have to take an enormous amount of it to actually get the results. This is straight pure dihydroberberine at 200 milligrams per capsule. So be sure, if you're curious on it, check it out on the website at Team Health Masters and also grab it while it's on sale right now. And of course, a lot of the other products, I told everybody, make sure if you want to stay updated on a product that you need on a regular basis, don't forget to subscribe and save. You get 5% off on here. So say you want the B Complex every 4 weeks, click the subscribe and save, 5% off on it. You do 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks. And then when you're in your own account, you go in there and update and change the subscription. It's really easy, really simple. We've made it on the new site to be very adaptive so you can update it. So, I mean, if you get one after 4 weeks and you're like, you know what, I need a little bit later, you can go right in, click 6 weeks, change it. And also, too, you have the ability to build the points. So every dollar you spend, you get a point. After a while, you start realizing you got a lot of points accrued. And you start applying those to whatever order you want to get a pretty good discount. You can stack the points on top of a discount if you want. So be sure to check that out at Team Health Masters. And also, get updates. I've been telling everybody this. Make sure you put your name, email in. Get updates on the Brewer Show and the Health Masters report on both of them. That way you can get emails sent right to your inbox every day on the updated shows and on the different specials that we have going on at Team Health Masters. So just want to give a little update on that this morning. How are you doing?
I'm here.
You're here. I see that.
Hello.
Glad you're on the show with me today.
By the way, Peter Thiel has got himself obsessed with the Antichrist. He's trying to figure out who the Antichrist is.
Is that where we're going today?
Well, I mean, I didn't
know. We're going straight to Antichrist on Tuesday?
The guy basically claims to be a Christian, apparently, now. But, I mean, he's got his lifestyles pretty messed up, including, you know, taking transfusions of blood from children, other kind of weird stuff. Maybe he's finally realized that the stuff
is that alleged, or does he admit to that?
That's pretty much the fact. I said, but one guy said an article about if a tech billionaire seeks to spread Christianity, they should stop hunting Antichrist and reflect on the words of Jesus Christ, who urged his followers to practice empathy and forgiveness and to care for people rather than exploit or surveil them. Instead of worrying about Armageddon, Thiel should heed the Gospels that warn that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now I'm going to comment on that for 1 second. Again, here are the people are that he's talking to and these people he's trying to find as far as the Antichrist. He's trying to expose what's going on in the world as far as who he's talking about. So now the people that are doing the things that, you know, that he's talking about are telling him to go back to the gospel and promote the positive message of the gospel.
Peter Thiel is one of the main founders of Palantir.
That's exactly right.
I don't trust a single word this man
Not
says
a single
whatsoever.
Word Not a word.
This goes all the way back to the contact tracing with the COVID, with the platform he built before that, with all the subcontracting he did with the CIA to monitor everything. Remember, after 2001... the CIA started to have subcontractors to do data logging and data mining on individuals so they could use the data by basically skating around the Constitution. because essentially the agency and other agencies in the country aren't supposed to be using data to track people everywhere and build algorithms on them. Well, Palantir Technology came to rise, and that became one of the big subcontractors. And as of course you guys know now, Palantir has gotten multiple Department of Defense contracts, including an enormous budget through this BBB bill that they put through to do a lot more invasive tracing and contacting and AI algorithms and pretty much monitor everything everybody does all the time and then disseminate it to all the federal agencies across the entire country in real time. So this guy's a complete and total shell as far as I'm concerned. Palantir was founded in 2003, right after 9/11 happened, 2 years after 9/11, and that rolled right into DHS and the enormous police state that we ensued after that. He is instrumental in government surveillance, AI, and facial recognition software. So I think this guy's trying to pander to the Christian market, possibly.
I don't know what he's doing, but there's something weird. Now some people are saying now the thing with the blood transfusion with him, that he's interested in it, but he's not actually doing it. I'm looking at the document. It says, more than anything, Peter Thiel, the billionaire technology investor and a Donald Trump supporter, wants to find a way to escape death. He's channeled millions of dollars into startups working on anti-aging medicine, spends considerable time and money researching therapies for his personal use, and believes society ought to open its mind to life extension methods that sound weird or unsavory. He says basically he's thinking weird on safety. There's one thing that really excites Thiel. It's the prospect of having younger people's blood transfused into his veins.
Like I said.
Yeah.
The guy's weird.
So who in the world knows what he's up to and what he's going to really do? Oh, by the way, Sydney Sweeney, the girl who did the gene commercial a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
She seems like she's really nice. She's being given the Hollywood cold shoulder over her MAGA views.
Oh, yeah.
The star has skipped the Emmys after parties after woke celebrities hijacked ceremony with political speeches.
Of course.
She was once the belle of the award season ball, gracing the red carpet of every Hollywood soiree. Yet at Sunday Night Emmys Awards, she appeared to have fallen out of favor with her fellow stars and the Euphoria actress making a subdued appearance on the biggest night in television. While she took to the stage to present Owen Cooper with the Outstanding Supporting Actor Award, she was not pictured mingling with any of the celebrities backstage, nor was she seen at any of the after parties. Well, there's a reason for that, in my opinion. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm going to speculate. You know, she don't want to listen to it.
No. She don't want to hear it.
No, but I'm going to hear it. There's a certain point when you get in, you go to a party, and I've had this happen to me before, and it's something comes up that you don't want to talk about. Yeah. Or something comes up, then they're going to criticize you about something.
Or it's just, everybody's going to be fake, and they're always talking crap about you.
And it's just easier not to go. I don't blame her. Again, she gets more kudos on my mind right now because of doing this and saying no to all these nutbags. But who in the world wants to go to these Hollywood parties?
What do you mean fake people? I don't like fake people. I don't like people that are just nah.
Your mom was always funny about that. She used to always say, she goes, "I am not a phony, and I don't like phonies." And
that's a fact,
And
that's
the same way I am. If you just let your yay be yay and your nay be nay, like the Bible says. If you don't like something, just say I don't like that. I'm not going to be involved, and I'm not going to go to that. But don't sit there and endorse something or criticize something and speak out of both sides of your mouth.
No, you see now how many people appreciated what Charlie Kirk did. I mean, look at the rallies, dude, the last couple of days.
Thousands.
I mean, the rallies have been incredible. I mean, all the way from the UK and Europe. I mean, it's the whole world. And it's funny, the mainstream media has refused to cover any of them. But you know one thing I noticed this.
Well, that's because the mainstream media is controlled by the Sabbath day and Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan.
You know what I noticed, though? I mean, even though this man was executed on national television, I mean, one of the worst things that could possibly happen in front of your wife and kids, you notice how many cities got burned down the last couple of days?
They've been burning them down.
You know what I mean? People got drug out of their car and curb stomped on the sidewalk because they may have looked like the shooter. I mean, law enforcement got hit in the head with bricks and Molotov cocktails thrown on them.
I haven't seen any of that. Well, because he's a Christian. He's a real Christian. And that was the problem, is they couldn't compromise.
Exactly right. That's what and civilized people function civilized in a civilized society. And that's the problem that people have failed to realize, is they've pushed this leftist narrative so hard that now everybody's so sick of listening to it, nobody's going to tolerate it anymore. Nobody wants to be around people that act like animals on a regular basis. I mean, there's been multiple companies. I can't verify this thing with Elon Musk. Allegedly, he terminated a bunch of people with X for their post that worked for X, basically getting excited about Charlie Kirk being killed. I can't verify it. Someone said 2,000 people got terminated, but I've been able to verify that number. I have verified 8 different companies, employers, that have terminated individuals for posts, absolutely just horrific posts. I brought that up last week. You know, when somebody's killed, especially an assassination like this, and you've got the audacity to go on social media with your name, with your information, with your face, and jump up and down and shoot party poppers and be all joisterous and do dances on it because you're excited that someone got assassinated, you got a pretty dark hole in your soul. I'll be honest with you. You got some serious things to address
really,
in your mind.
Really dark.
I mean, even if you absolutely hated him, you loathed him, you didn't believe anything he said, whatever, that's your opinion. Getting on national social media and declaring it publicly and jumping up and down, that's not a good look, guys, by the way. Just thought to clarify that with anybody that actually thought that may be something positive to do. And I saw another article here earlier, and changing lanes here, it says the FDA is now basically going to discuss and go into detail on the 25 child deaths that were directly linked to the COVID-19 vaccine. An intense investigation by the FDA reported next week at the advisory committee, according to basically the defender here. They said the ACIP will consider new COVID vaccine recommendations, which may include restrictions on who should get the shot. You know, I'm to the point now, the reason why I'm bringing this article up, because we've already keep hearing about this, I'm to the point now, when is it, When are we possibly, and even, I mean, I don't know if it's the red tape. I don't know if it's because there's so much lobbying with the pharmaceutical companies. You've got this revolving door with the FDA and Pfizer and all this stuff. When is everybody going to take a step back, at least the population of the United States, and go, how about we just stop taking this kill shot? You know, I'm on my 15th booster and I'm unbelievably sick all the time and I can't function. Maybe I just shouldn't take anymore. At what point does everybody start asking themselves, is this really something you want to keep putting in your body? Or is this the mainstream media still telling everyone that people are getting it? Because I'll be honest with you, I talk to people all the time. You talk to people all the time. How many people do you talk to that are still pro-COVID shot? Do you ever run it?
Hardly any.
I haven't talked to any, and I talked to an array of different people.
I was at Florentino's, the Italian restaurant, over here in Winter Haven.
Yeah.
Over there in Lake Hamilton. By the way, that was a very positive endorsement for them.
Great restaurant.
He's a great friend.
Mike's an incredible friend.
Have them give you the gluten-free pizza.
It's like it's the Brewer pizza. You pretty much built that one with the olives and with chicken on it. Yeah.
Well, you get to get the grilled chicken instead of the cube chicken. But I digress. So I was thinking about pizza. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
But it's true. There's one lady there one time. I was sitting there watching a football game because they've all got TVs in there. And she was promoting how much she'd gotten the shot and how much she loved the shot. That's the only person I've met so far.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody else.
Well, they keep pushing this in the media. Well, the shot, we need to revise it, and some people can get it. But every time I turn around, I talk to people, even people that got it now, they're like, no, I'm done.
Well, the thing about it is I saw her again about a year later, right?
Yeah.
And she wasn't quite as sharp as she had been. I think the spike proteins are turning off some synaptic connections.
Well, you get enough blood clots, you cut enough blood flow to the brain, you start having some issues with that.
Well, there's an article here. It says, the largest conspiracy in the world, in world history, continues. Yeah, it was, and it continues to be, a massive conspiracy to destroy our health and enrich themselves. The super axis of evil, now we're talking about pharmakia, big pharma, the D.C. politicians, the dying legacy media, Silicon Valley social media totalitarians, the WHO, the WEF, Bill Gates and his fellow billionaire psychopaths have compared for decades to create disease and sickness while enriching themselves from their toxic treatments that just makes us sicker. That's really well said.
Well said.
The COVID planet-wide genocide was the last straw, to tie directly in what you just said, Austin.
Yeah.
The hearings this week unequivocally prove the conspirators will stop at nothing to keep their grift going. They will kill JFK just like they killed his father and his uncle. Man, I hope not. I hope not. But of course, they did kill his father and his uncle. And it's just unbelievable what the hearings showed a couple of weeks ago. That's why I want to cover this. And now he's going after the hepatitis vaccine and all the rest.
Yeah.
And when you understand that this COVID thing is something that's not going to go away, and they're gonna, because there's so much money in it, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the one thing that these guys find out, and this is the thing that really grates me a lot. They find out how to get on the government dole. Okay? If you watch that one movie, I forgot which one it was. I don't recommend it because it's got a lot of bad language in it. But it was how these couple of kids came in and started putting in contracts for weapons.
War Dogs.
And you don't realize how much money's given away from our tax dollars. Yeah. And it's not even our tax dollars. I mean, we're at several trillion now in our budget.
I was about to say, we're not even pulling tax dollars anymore. We're just running credit cards up as far as with the Fed.
Well, no, when you realize, and these people, these grifters, they figure out how to get maximum money from the federal government.
Yeah.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And they get really good at it.
Yeah.
I mean, Elon Musk is almost a trillionaire, Austin.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's
built virtually all of his companies off government money, by the way.
No.
Same thing with Amazon.
And once you figure out how to get into that focus, into that thing, and you start getting this money, this is free money handed to you. It's like a grant.
No, it is.
I remember when I was at FSU, because, you know, my mom didn't have a lot of money, and she was supporting us, and I was trying my best to figure out how to get, you know, money from the state of Florida. You know, there was a basic education opportunity grant, and then the Florida State Assistant Grant. And these are grants. They're not loans. They give you the money. And I was able to get a few of those when I was in undergraduate school. I thought, man, this is great.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, this is awesome. I love this. Suddenly you got a check in the mail for $500. And you're like, wow. And back, by the way, back then, $500 was a lot of money. It's like $2,000 or $3,000 now.
Now it barely pays for your overpriced books.
Oh, some books are $500.
It's retarded. It's ridiculous.
Well, no, what happened?
I always say buy books used. No. I always buy my books used.
No, it doesn't matter anymore. The used ones are through the roof.
Well, that's true. I actually bought books. I forget. Everybody in college now deserves the online. Gosh, I'm kind of.
Well, no, you have to pay for the program. Now they don't have to print the books anymore.
Yeah.
And the crazy part about all of this stuff is, I mean, you know, I've printed a lot of books. You know, we had our own publishing company for years when we were putting out our own books. Well, I got tired of giving all the money to the publishers. And I learned very, very quickly that these books are cheap to print.
Yeah.
You know, and so you get a textbook that's, you know, that basically is 400 or 500 pages. You know, you can print that book for a couple of dollars, unless it has a bunch of color graphs in it, and they'll charge $1,000, $500, $400, $300 for these books, depending on how complicated it gets to print it. And their cost maximum, if they have a lot of color plates inside the book, will be maybe $10 or $12 a piece, and that's max. And
wow!
And they sell
even
these
hardback.
Oh, even hardback, yeah. And they sell these books for, oh my gosh, you know, for $400,000, $500,000, $600,000. Again, why is that? Because owned by the Seventh Angel Apostles, who's the very same guy, Satan.
Who owns the publishing companies?
Everything. Yeah, oh yeah. So they want to remember it's the free air.
They can't get enough of it.
And, you know,
they want to take everybody else's air too.
No, and then the used one, you pay $500 for new. The used one is still $300.
Yeah,
and you're like, what the heck is this? You know, I can print this myself. And then what they do is they change a few of the headings in the book every year. So you can't buy the used ones.
We got edition 10 coming out now.
Now you have, well, I've got a book that's got two pages changed.
Nah, can't use that book. Well, I remember multiple classes that I was in. The professor, the class would call for like edition 8 of this book in some of the science and psychology classes. And they needed to tell us, they said, just get edition 6 or 7 off eBay. Save your money. They haven't changed them at all. There's like two pages in the back that we're not even going to use. I remember telling me that.
I was teaching this marketing class. You know, in college, I was a college professor for 2 years, and I remember I read through this marketing, and the first 150 pages of this book was just fluff. It was this guy talking about how great he was. No, it was the most stupid thing I've ever read. I read my textbooks before I taught the class.
Right.
And I'm reading it. I'm like, okay, when's he going to say something that's actually important? And finally, I got to like page 150. It's like a 400-page book. And I said, finally, he's getting into some marketing techniques that might work. And so I remember I got in front of the class. This got me in trouble too. Probably got sent me to the prison. This is what sent me to
the prison.
This is why I had to teach it. Besides failing the kids who couldn't read, and you know, and this is the one that got them. Yeah, so I got in front of the room. I really did this. I went to page 150 and I took the book and I ripped it in half.
Oh gosh.
In front of the class. And I said, this is not going to be on an exam. Put it in the garbage. And they all started applauding me. But then again, I was the one who was told I had to use that book.
Yep.
I had no choice. And so, I think that was the final semester. I think that was the last straw.
Yeah.
I think it was the bro that broke the camel's back. I think that was the end of it.
Again, the example, what happens when you don't go along with the narrative that they tell you to run?
But I mean,
we're not going to terminate you.
No,
we have a job for you in the prison, though.
But I spent an hour reading that 150 pages like myself. I have wasted an hour of my life. And I'm just happy I read real fast. I'm like,
yeah,
this is awful. And but it was interesting to me that they actually did that and then sent me out to the prison to teach. You know, it's so funny. I tell that story. People think, is that true? That's really true. And I don't know the reason they sent me to the prison.
Oh,
I'm speculating. Well, like I failed a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Well, when the government's giving the school all these subsidies to pass the kids with D's.
My favorite one is when the students that were getting that wouldn't even answer true-false questions. They'd leave them blank.
No.
When you told me that story, I was like, you're joking, right? Like, no, the whole section true and false. They didn't know how to answer.
It wasn't just one. It was a bunch of kids. So I had to get in front of the classroom, and I said, let me tell you about probability.
Flip coin.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
I got a coin out.
Coin.
And I said,
50-50.
It's either this. Or it's that. It's either heads or tails. It's either true or false. There's nothing. There's no other answers. So when I give you 10 true false questions, if you don't know how to read or you don't know how to answer these, just put true down for everything.
What's the probability? You're going to get at least half of them right.
Oh, then I had this one professor. This is terrible. He did this. He got fired probably for this. He put all the answers in all of his exams would always be A.
A? All of them ready?
And multiple choice. A. Everything's A.
Oh, gosh.
They just go, A, or else everybody gets A's. You know? You know who it is. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'm not going to mention it on the air. And I love the guy. He's a great brother. But the thing about it is that they found out some of the students had enough of it.
Yeah.
Because they were paying all this extravagant tuition to this private college, private university. And they said, we don't learn anything. We just have to put A on the exam.
After four or five exams, you're like, man, everything's always A. You're like, you know what? I'm not even going to study for this exam. I'm busy. I'm just going to take it and win it and just put it on A. Do it. And you're like, oh, I got a 98 on the exam. I'm like, oh, boy. This one out. But the true false will crack because it's 50-50, man. The probability of that you look at is 50-50. I watched that movie the other day, No Country for Old Men.
Well, that's a rough one.
It's a rough one, but it's interesting because when you understand that one guy, I mean, he's a psychopath, a sociopath. He based everything off flipping a coin. He goes, flip a coin. He goes, everything's betting on this right now. He's talking about one guy in that store.
That store.
And he flips it. And he goes, don't put it in your pocket. It's your lucky coin. You want it. Put it somewhere. And the movie, he's so weird, the movie, but it's well done. And
He's a good actor.
He's a great actor. The film, the design is to show you is how that generation, that older generation, how everything got so dark and so weird as it went forward, where violence, death, drugs, everything started to consume.
Tommy Lee Jones didn't know what to do because he was a sheriff.
Right. And he said, at one point, my dad and I were sheriff at the same time in different counties.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, and he had never seen it. It's a great film. It's got some really graphic stuff in it. But it's interesting that it shows you that transition out in the western part of the United States back in the 70s, how a lot of that stuff changed and how now you're dealing with these cartels, sickos, and everything. By the way, I'm still waiting on ICE to go ride some of those MS-13 gang member compounds out there. Still haven't heard about that. Saw some more people got arrested at Lowe's.
More, really? Again?
Yeah. You guys, you know, you arrested another 8 people at Lowe's getting paint. Congratulations, ICE. Still waiting on those raids at MS-13 and those trend compounds out west. And I'm still waiting to find out where those two Mexican nationals went that had 300,000 rounds of 30 cal ammo in their U-Haul van.
Well, the craziest part that I get, you know, you nowadays, painting has gotten unbelievably expensive.
It's expensive. And I got to get paid for the house the other day.
It's owned by the Hispanic mafia. They're the guys.
Even like Porter Paint and all that? Sure.
No.
I was trying to get
you
raw material.
I'm talking about just the people
the
who
crews,
pay
the crews. Yeah.
And, you know, you think, well, that
even
can't.
Even material's expensive, though. I went and got a quote from Paint the other day from Sherwin-Williams and Porter, and they're both through the roof, even my discount.
They used to be about $20 a gallon, and now they're like $60 to $80 a gallon.
Oh, yeah. Hmm? Retail on without the discount was $1,000 for 10 gallons.
$100 a gallon. And that paint costs a hardy.
And I got
but I can tell you who owns, you know, Pittsburgh Plate Glass without even looking.
Interesting.
I don't even. Do you do it?
I don't know. I'm seeing.
I think it's Pittsburgh Plate Glass, isn't it? PPG?
Sherwin-Williams?
It's PPG.
PPG. That's right.
Look up PPG. Who owns PPG? Mm-hmm. Let's see who it is. You going to Stockzoa?
Yeah. Let's see where I go.
See what it says. I'm guessing that I could be stepping into a big pile of
Well, I'm actually
here.
Curious. I'm going to find out who's the top. Is that who owns Sherwin-Williams, though?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
This is a live show, by the way. This is not rehearsed. We're not reading a transcript. Now you obviously know that.
Top institutional shareholder. Vanguard Index Funds. Vanguard Index Funds. Vandy Freeway Guns. Vandex Index Funds.
State Street Vanguard and, you know.
They're a big
Black
Vanguard.
Rock.
They're a big Vanguard boy. Ironically. And who's the top shareholder of Vanguard? I don't have to show it. I already guys know. BlackRock.
Okay, well, let's look up Sherwin-Williams now, because that's probably a subsidiary. Who owns Sherwin-Williams?
I don't know. That's, I'm curious on it.
I told you, I'd have to look. I bet we don't have to look at this one either.
I don't know if Sherwin-Williams
is what this is. What this is to the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan is a giant...
Sherwin-Williams is a publicly traded company. It's not owned by a single person. It's a combination of shareholders, BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street hold the largest stakes and significant influence of Sherwin-Williams. Now I know why they're ripping me off of my paint. It's the banks again. It's the top three. Gosh, I hate being right with you sometimes.
But, you know, I mean... No, I promise you. I give you my word. Neither one of us looked these
up. I didn't look it up. I just started complaining about paint.
It's just what it is. And see, the problem is when the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue sit and play Monopoly with you, they own the banks.
They own the banks.
And before long, they own the whole board.
They own the whole board.
In other words, so when we're playing Monopoly and we're playing with a group of people that own everything, unbelievable. Think about that for a second, Austin. You know, that's why when you play somebody, when you play Monopoly with somebody, the whole key is to buy everything.
No, it is. It's a, get a hook. Everybody, every time somebody lands on your property, you extract money out of them for doing nothing. I put a $200 hotel. You owe me $500 because you parked here now for a month. You're like, oh my gosh, you build nothing. You make nothing. You just rip people off. Oh, kind of sounds like the money changed in the temple that Jesus threw out.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like they haven't changed after they've gotten thrown out of, I don't know, what, 500 countries over the last two centuries or two millennials?
Oh, now here's a galvanizing article. No common ground with Democrats. They literally want to kill us. Okay? Now I'm going to stop here 1 second because that's not true. Not all Democrats like that. No, but that's what they're saying. Marjorie Taylor Greene says there's nothing left to talk about with the left. They hate us. They assassinated our nice guy who actually talked to them peacefully, debating ideas.
That is a true statement. Okay?
Then millions on the left celebrate and make clear they want all of us dead. Now, those millions did celebrate that, and they do want all of us dead, but not all of them.
Not all of them. But would you start posting stuff on social media, glee and joyful and party poppers about somebody getting executed?
And here she says something that's actually true. She goes, to be honest, I want a peaceful national divorce. Our country is too far gone, too far divided, and it's no longer safe for any of us. I pray the left... But personally, I want nothing to do with them. This is exactly what happened in 18.
No, this happened. National divorce.
This happened in 1861.
This is exactly what happened in 1861.
Because the South and the North, the North comes in and says, because they were being controlled by the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue.
All the banker boys up north.
All the banker boys. They said, we're going to extract tariffs from the South. You owe us the money. We own the board on Monopoly.
Yep.
You're making too much money on cotton.
That's exactly what happened.
And the South said, you know what? Hold my beer. Here's my middle finger. Sorry I said that, but we're done. We're basically leaving the country. We're voluntarily in this union. We don't want to be in it anymore. And if you still think that the South was in trouble with the North because of slavery, you're reading the wrong books. I'm letting you know that. It was a minor issue. It was about tariffs and about the control of the North against the Southern states trying to maintain the infrastructure up North, and that's why they were doing it. And the Southern states finally said, you know what? We don't want to do this anymore. This is not something that we're interested in. We have had enough of this. And the problem was, what happened? Oh, Lincoln goes, you can't leave. We love your tax dollars. Because remember, Lincoln, his wife, was a Luciferian. She used to do seances in the White House. They like to say she was crazy. She wasn't crazy. She was a witch. Now I've got everybody mad. Why don't you look up the fact of what she was? She's a nutbag. And then a lot of people said that he had some issues, too. I'm not going to go into that because I don't know that for sure. But then the reality is I know he told Sherman to march to the sea, Austin.
Yep.
Destroy the South. Break the back of the South. This is his own country. And then the Rothschild banking cartel got really mad at Lincoln because he refused to get more money from them because he was still printing debt-free currency. And they used John Wilkes Booth as their agent, and they assassinated Lincoln. I mean, this banking thing and all these, and if you go back and look at all those guys that were assassinated, all those presidents back in the 1800s, Austin, almost all of them were basically, they were hits by the Rothschild
cartel. Oh, yeah.
Cartel.
Wait, the thing is that the Civil War turned into a war of attrition. The South didn't have any outside enlistment coming in. The North was bringing in the German fighters. They were bringing the European fighters. I was reading something the other day. They said over 250,000 of the Union soldiers that were fighting were born in Europe. Quarter of a million.
They were mercenaries.
Mercenaries. They brought it in for the war.
They were Hessians.
If you watch the movie, it's graphic. I don't really recommend it for kids. It is called Gangs of New York. Excuse me. They show you towards the end of the film when the Civil War is starting to break out in New York, and there's guys getting off the boats from Ireland, from Scotland, from Europe, and as they're getting off the boats, they're conscripting them and handing them a rifle, handing them a uniform, and basically making them swear their oath. As soon as they get off the boat, they're forcing them to conscript. And that's what they did with the entire Civil War. So the Southern states, they had no way to continue to keep fighting. After enough people are dead, there's nobody left to fight. How do you keep fighting a war that can't be fought because there's no men left? There's women and children. And then you had Sherman's March to the Sea. It's a giant 65-mile swath all the way from Atlanta to the coast, doing Sherman's bow ties, where you take the railroad ties, they'd heat them up and twist them around trees, then just drop them off, so they couldn't get any type of products in or out of the South anymore. They couldn't get any material in, they couldn't get any material out, and it completely starved out the South. But that's a topic you brought up there, where you said she wants to have a peaceful divorce in this country. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that would look at this point in time, but I'm curious, because you start looking at this now, and have we reached a point to where we're at that phase where there is no more uniting the United States back together again? Are we to a point to where we actually maybe needing to look at separating? How's that work?
The reality is the Southern states can't do that again, because they were allowed to come back into the Union only after they swore they would never do that again.
Yeah.
Remember, there was occupation out there for decades with the Northern troops on Southern soil.
Correct.
Because they didn't want the Southern states to rebel against. Because Southern states were being very pesky, but I don't think that'll ever happen again. I think the United States is going to collapse into the ash heap of history because of the debt. The only reason we're still even doing anything and functioning at all is because we have the reserve currency status of the world.
Yeah.
If we didn't have that, we would be a complete third world country at this point.
Well, and that's why there's
without any industrial infrastructure to rebuild.
That's true.
They made sure they did that to us.
That's the problem. You made a point. If we lose the reserve currency at any point, we don't have the industrial functioning anymore like we did at the beginning of the century.
The only reason the United States runs is on borrowed money.
Yeah.
That's it.
And we don't produce much anymore.
No, and we don't sell as many bonds and T-bills as we need to do that. The Rothschild banking cartel buys it back.
Yeah.
They print the money, they buy it back from us, and they basically continue to finance the debt because of what they're doing. They're buying the board.
Exactly.
So that way, when they go to Congress and they say, you will pass all these legislations that if you criticize Israel, this will happen to you and you will lose your passport now.
Yeah.
Think about that. Where's your First Amendment right? That's my question.
Yeah.
Where's your First Amendment right that if you criticize these clowns, they take your passport away from you? It's unbelievable, Austin, when you stop and think about
it. Well, no, it's exactly what it is on there, because when you start looking at it, Marco Rubio, that complete piece of scum that he is. I mean, was it 2 days after Charlie Kirk? He's over there jumping on Netanyahu, hugging on him, hanging out with him. Oh, we got
to
figure out.
Going to the Wailing Wall.
We're gonna pass a bill that if anybody criticizes Israel, it's going to be an act of terrorism. We're going to revoke your passport. It's like,
well, now I'm going to speculate for 1 second. Now here's, I'm going to ask some questions. I'm not going to make any comments. I'll just ask some questions. What does Benjamin Netanyahu have on Donald Trump that makes Donald Trump comply with everything he wants? That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, did Jeffrey Epstein really have videotape of Donald Trump in compromising positions? Number three, does Mossad still have copies of those tapes? Number four, is Benjamin Netanyahu using those tapes to control Trump so that Trump doesn't destroy his own legacy globally by the release of these tapes? I don't know. All I know is that we're not getting the Epstein files.
No. And, oh, by the way, 3 hours after Charlie Kirk was assassinated violently, the entire Senate, Republican Senate, voted against releasing the unredacted reports on Epstein. I talked about that in detail.
Remember, Wayne Allen Root was on the show with us several years ago. And I remember what he said. It may have been Robert David Steele. It was one of those two guys. They said this. They said the problem they have is this. These guys get in a honeypot situation in which they're basically trapped. Some beautiful woman shows up, and they think that she's, 25 years old and she's, 16 years old. And she's all dressed up and they meet her in a lounge and they think they're meeting her generically and they may or may not be married or whatever. Who knows? And all of a sudden they got a videotape of them in the room.
Yep.
And they're doing their thing and they got a videotape of it now. And so now all of a sudden in the mail, and you saw this with the Godfather. They brought the pictures to the guy. And all of a sudden the guy goes, "Whatever you want." That was that one senator out, I think it was out of Utah, not Utah, it was where Vegas is, Arizona. And so
Nevada.
Nevada. Yeah, you can tell I go to Vegas a lot.
And they're all around the same spot.
But what ended up happening is they controlled him that way. And so all of a sudden, one of those two guys, either Brute or James Robert W. Stooks, he's gone now, that they basically tell them, we're going to give you as many terms as you want in the Senate or in Congress. They have that power, by the way, because they have the money to basically do the recruiting and run the broadcasting, et cetera, through donations. Or we're going to basically release this. So you're going to either have an incredible life, you know, as a senator or, you know, as a congressman of the United States of America, and people will adore you and be great to be with you, et cetera, or we're going to release this stuff and you're going to be thrown out. You'd probably go to jail for underage sex or whatever happens here, and your life will be ruined. Your family will be ruined. Your marriage will be ruined. Your kids will loathe you. Everybody will hate you. Or you can have a really happy life for the rest of your life as a United States senator and have a huge retirement fund. And by the way, we'll make sure you're worth about $200-300 million before you retire.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to pick? You made a stupid mistake, so you need to destroy your life. Okay. And destroy it. I mean, to the point of like, oh my gosh, what's happened? Or live a great life.
Yeah.
And that's where these guys find themselves. You know, Marco Rubio, they called him Bubble Boy Rubio in South Florida.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the gay bathhouses. And everybody knows about it. Even Alex Jones reported on that. And so, I mean, everybody knows he was doing that before he was, you know, part of that group that came in back in the, you know, 20 years ago into the Senate. And then the crazy part about it is that what else do they have on Rubio Austin?
They got enough.
I don't know if they have anything on him, but I'm asking that question. I mean, what do they have that's bad enough that you can do whatever they ask you to do? And that's the question. I mean, and then you have one more notch on this, and this is the weird one. This is how Johnson pardoned Albert Pike. Albert Pike was a war criminal in the South, a Southern general. The problem was Albert Pike had written a book and wrote the book Morals and Dogma. He spoke like 11 languages. He was the highest level Masonic leader in the United States. And Johnson was underneath him in the hierarchy of the Masonic leadership. And Johnson pardoned Pike. Whoa, wait a minute. You're kidding. No, I'm telling you what happened. That's why he missed by like a couple of votes being impeached and being thrown out of office. People were so mad that Pike was pardoned. But Pike, you know, was pardoned. Now to this day, they have a big Confederate War statue of him sitting on a horse in Washington, D.C., because D.C. was basically constructed by the Masonic lodges. So then you got to ask, now, so that's the reason I brought all that up was this. Is Benjamin Netanyahu a higher Masonic lodge leader than Donald Trump? Masons don't vote against Masons. No. We've seen that in the local elections, in the local, you know, getting property approved. The other day I'm driving to the interstate, Austin. It literally took me 15 minutes. To get to the interstate. It's 4 miles.
I know.
No, it's crazy. Because everybody's turning, and there aren't any turn lanes.
No.
There are only a couple of red lights. And I thought to myself, and we told the city commission.
We fought with them.
We said we don't have infrastructure to approve these 4,000 homes.
Didn't care. Masons wanted it.
Yeah.
BlackRock had their big subsidiary companies coming in and put the subdivisions in. With some of the cheapest cracker box built houses I've ever seen in my life when I went over there when they were building them. So I was walking through the house on the construction sites. I didn't even know how they got this stuff approved. It was built so cheaply.
Well, because they're Masonic Lodge people. But the crazy part was, I remember I talked to a former county commissioner, and he asked me when we were fighting the storage units. I asked him, I said, how do we stop this? He goes, it doesn't matter if this group, and he gives me the list of the names of the people involved in it, because he knew they were all high-level Masons. He said, it doesn't matter if every single person in Polk County shows up and testifies against this. If these guys want it, it gets passed.
Well, no, he said, too, it doesn't matter. We want to get massive attorneys and massive lawsuits and hundreds of thousands of dollars tied up in litigation. So it's still going to go through eventually. It's just going to be just a couple of years down the road.
Yeah,
it's going to happen. Because what's going to happen is the judges are friends with all the Masons that are friends with all the city commissioners.
Well, the judges are all Masons, too.
They're all circular. And so what happens is if they wanted to go through, it's going to go through. You may just drag it out some. But switching gears, this is a pretty cool article here. Now, we're talking about blood sugar and insulin resistance and stuff yesterday. This came out. It says reverse insulin resistance with these 8 foods or supplements. I thought this was a pretty cool article. It says over 80 million Americans have insulin resistance, which leads to diabetes. And remember, a lot of these times when people start becoming insulin resistant, Dad broke it down in detail yesterday as far as what happens when your blood sugar rises and your insulin starts to continue to be pumped in. So you have high insulin, high blood sugar, and your body becomes insulin resistant, meaning the higher amounts of insulin that your body produces, it still doesn't bring your blood sugar down. So you're constantly walking around with high blood sugar, high insulin, which causes an enormous amount of body fat storage and later on leads to diabetes. A hormone insulin directs your cells to open up and take in glucose from the blood. With insulin resistance, your cells become desensitized to insulin. They ignore the instructions to open up and take in glucose. Your body keeps producing more insulin to try to get the message heard, but it doesn't work, and your insulin levels rise higher and higher and higher. Chronically high insulin levels cause rapid weight gain, premature aging, high blood pressure, heart disease, high cancer risk, eventually leading to type 2 diabetes. One of the number one things on here says turmeric. turmeric, that's what they're claiming. In the study, it was 100% effective in preventing diabetes. This is why the turmeric force that we have, it's basically the critical extract. They said a 2009 study, curcumin, or active ingredient found in turmeric, was 500 to 100,000 times more effective than prescription drug metformin at activating glucose uptake. Another study of 240 pre-diabetic adults, patients were given another 250 milligrams of turmeric or placebo day after 9 months. None of those taking curcumin developed diabetes, but 16.4% of placebo group did. In other words, curcumin is 100% effective at preventing type 2 diabetes. That was one of the reasons why in the GHI cleanse, we have such a high dose of the turmeric in here.
That's why it's orange.
It's why it's orange. And also, too, you want to add in the turmeric force that we have. We get it from a really good company.
I take 10 of those. They're out of Germany.
Super critical extract. Really, really expensive to manufacture. Great product, though. Works fantastic.
Really ginger, does great on inflammation.
It does. And ginger, that's another one on here that we put in here that works really, really good. That's also in the GHI cleanse. Ginger lowers fasting glucose by 10.5%. Randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial, 88 diabetics were divided into two groups. Essentially, at the end, they found that ginger helped out significantly with lowering fasted blood glucose. Next one on here was cinnamon. Just like the cinnamon extract, we have the 10-to-1 cinnamon sequoia extract. Works incredibly good at type 2 diabetes and improving the ability to respond to insulin. Olive leaf extract, that's in one of the formulas that we have as well that also helps out as far as lowering blood sugar. And then black seed oil on here, ironically, just 2 grams reduce insulin resistance. Study of 94 diabetic patients, researchers prescribed either 1 gram, 2 grams,
black seed
or 3
oil.
Grams. They found that the dose of 2 grams per day, black seed oil significantly reduced fasting blood glucose and insulin resistance.
Yeah, well, Muhammad said that's the cure for everything but death. Just thought I'd mention
I know.
That.
And then of course, the end-all be-all that we find out constantly, and we talk about it, berberine. This is what they claim, just as good as 3 different diabetic drugs. Look at this here. Berberine is a bitter compound from the roots of several plants. Chinese researchers compared berberine to metformin in a pilot study of 36 patients. They found berberine lowered blood sugar levels just as well as metformin, if not better, in 3 months. The patients also significantly decreased their fasting blood glucose after meal blood glucose. In the same study, researchers gave berberine to 48 diabetics for 3 months. After 1 week, look at this. After 1 week, berberine lowered both fasting and post-meal blood glucose levels. In addition, the insulin resistance dropped by 45%. 1 week.
This is why my weight dropped down 7-8 pounds just taking this stuff.
Your body responds to insulin really well. Remember, when your body starts responding to insulin real well, it produces less of it. So that way, if you start eating a little bit more carbs, you don't have this massive dump of insulin in your bloodstream. So your body's responsible.
I love the berberine. Remember the day I did that, read that paper on it? It does like 20 different things. Like,
oh, yeah.
It does this and it does this.
This is just based on blood sugar and diabetes and stuff, but it does a whole bunch of other things.
It's an amazing product. That's why I take it every day. Oh, yeah. By the way, here's an interesting article on the mRNA vaccines. It's actually a video. So I
gene therapy.
And it says, mRNA vaccines function as chemical lobotomies, causing severe brain damage. We just talked about that lady that we saw at Florodino's.
Oh, yeah.
Because what it does, when they blood clot the brain, they basically destroy certain synapses in
right,
blood.
Right, cut blood flow off.
Yeah.
It's like having this mini stroke all the time.
Oh, by the way, Charlie Kirk's assassin is now on suicide watch.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
And it's funny, I saw an article on Breitbart the other day, which I'm not a big fan of Breitbart, but I do pull some articles from it, and they're saying he's non-compliant. He's not cooperating. He's not giving us a confession.
First of all, let me just say it here. He didn't shoot Charlie Kirk.
I don't think he did either.
No, there's no...
22-year-old with his transgender boyfriend living... Here's the other thing that I thought, too. I thought about this.
Now they're saying it was a 300-yard shot.
300-yard. Oh, here we go. Yeah, so maybe where he was at wasn't where the shot was from.
Let me ask you a question.
That would make a lot of sense, actually.
Let me ask you a question. They're saying that this is the gun that he used, this 30-06.
Mauser 98.
Okay. Well, you know, Kennedy got shot with a Mauser, right?
Yeah.
So let's...
Yeah, ironic, isn't it?
No, think about it. Now, I know if you run a heavy barrel 223.
Yeah.
Okay? It's extremely accurate.
Oh, yeah. 300-yard shot, as far as with the right shooter, it's not a difficult shot.
Well, you have to have it sighted in because you're gonna have bullet.
You're gonna bullet drop a 5.56. Not much on a 30 cal though, or 30-06.
Well, no, but you think about it now. Is it possible? I'm speculating here because you're the guy that's the expert on all this. Is it possible if you were running a heavy barrel AR-15 that you could make that shot? Because
oh, easy, especially if you had a 20-inch. You got a 20-inch barrel, that's not a hard shot with that round. Because that 20-inch barrel's actually what the 5.56 round was designed around originally.
Okay, and so you could actually run it. So if you took that 5.56 gun with a heavy barrel and a 20-inch heavy barrel, and you took it to the range and you sighted it. With the right ammo, and you knew exactly, because you'd been to that site already,
right,
exactly what the range was going to be.
Correct.
Okay, so you know
you could dial it in.
You could dial in it at the range. You run in 223 ammo, and would that cause a lot less tissue damage than that 30-06 would?
30-06, that's a serious round.
Yeah, I know it is.
But I mean, I
didn't see his neck blow apart when that thing.
No, entered. I mean it definitely hit his spine though. It was a spine shot. Mm-hmm. I don't know what ammo he's. Here's the part that I'm still waiting on. There's no ballistics.
I know.
We got no ballistics.
Where's the bullet? Where's the round?
We got no ballistics. Mm-hmm. You know exactly where the shot was.
Well, they're telling us what the gun was now because they found it on the woods with a bunch of, you know, and then out, and somebody else told me last night that the scope was set too far back on that gun.
Well,
for
the thing
front
about
position.
It is the Mauser isn't an LMR, which LMR is lightweight modular rifle. That's what a lot of the guys use that go hunting. That basically you can break. There's some rifles that are amazing. I mean, you can break the whole rifle down and throw it in a backpack. There are like an LMR platform. That
you
wasn't
saw that,
LMR.
that one born identity.
Correct. That's a very real gun. I've shot them before. They're ultra light. They're made for packing out, so you can go moose hunting out in the woods and pack it in your backpack. You're not schlepping around your 20-pound rifle. However, they're designed to go back to zero immediately when you put them back together. They're dialed in. That Mauser 98 is not designed to start pulling apart and try to put it back in and have complete zero on it. The rifle's just, I mean, it's old school. Will it do it? Possibly. But it's not ideal.
Well, the scope was set way back.
I saw the photo of it, too. I mean, yeah, depending on the shooter preference, but it's just, it was weird. No. I mean, if you're going to go through all that, you're going to plan this whole thing out, and that's the rifle you're going to pick on it. And it's weird to me that Kennedy also got allegedly killed with that rifle, too. That's what kind of threw me for the loop on it. Was that kind of one of those, they want to show us in plain sight again? I don't know. But the story of him stowing the barrel down his pants and then the rest of the receiver
total
in his
nonsense.
Backpack, and he's running off with it, I don't think
and
it was
he came in with a set of clothes and got on the roof and changed clothes. Got off the roof and changed clothes again.
And he's disassembled the Mauser on the roof. Here's the thing. If you got to put it in position. You're on the roof. You're already unbelievably nervous. And this is allegedly your first time ever shooting anybody. I mean, he's not... Allegedly not an assassin.
I wonder how many hundreds of thousands of rounds he
shot. Right, exactly. So you make the shot perfect. You immediately break down the Mauser in perfect form. You get it stuffed in. You put it on your backpack. You get right off. And you have all this stuff lined up, and you do it in perfect unison. But you
Nonsense.
You also do it in front of all the cameras.
It's total lies.
So the cameras got him. Okay, so here's the thing you got to think about. If you put all this planning, they would have video footage of him going to the site. There's no way... He went and did this on a one-time whim. He just showed up, found a cool spot, set his rifle up, shot it, knew exactly where he had already been there.
Yeah,
remember with Shooter, mm-hmm. that movie was Shooter.
Oh, yeah.
They take him out and they say, where would you do the shot from?
Mm-hmm.
And they get all that footage from him walking around, talking about we do here. We've got all the evidence now of him planning the shot. Where's all that?
There's none of that. Well, the biggest thing, too, is that, you know, you think about it for a second. How many thousands of rounds has he fired? Yeah. This guy was another weirdo. They found they geeked him up on some kind of drugs. Who knows what they put him on? And now he doesn't want to talk because he's so geeked up on drugs.
We don't even know where they found this kid at, dude. The original photo that they originally put out for the Bolo, remember they said this guy with the sunglasses and the American shirt on? The photos aren't even remotely similar. The nose, the mouth, everything's
that's
different.
That's why they say he changed clothes. But now, this is interesting. It goes back to Angel Wars.
Angel Wars.
Peru's greatest mystery, megalithic ruins that no human could ever have built. History may not be what we've been told. I've told you what it was in Angel Wars. In the heart of Peru stands a site so massive and precise that even today's engineers struggle to explain it. Built without iron tools or wheels, they used electrogravitics is what they did. Its stones weigh over 50 tons and locked together with machine-like accuracy. This is not a myth. Welcome to Alicamama, whatever that is. Peru's greatest mystery, where the ruins appear beyond human capability. You know, unbelievable. So, but, you know, this goes back to Angel Wars and what the fallen angels did and what they built. And this is an interesting article. It's from Armstrong Economics. It's, why is the United States doomed? You know, talk about what we talked about. It says, here's what he says. I believe you have said that the United States practices the law of tyrants and conspiracy, which only proves a thought crime, not that you ever committed a crime. This is why we say we're doomed, because nobody will do real legal reform.
It's true.
Terry was telling me about this. Here's the answer. Our legal system adopted the tyranny of the king and replaced him with the Department of Just Us. Remember, rules for thee, not for me. It's a combination of the Pinkerton rule. Broad federal statutes like RICO and the strategic frequent use of prosecutors makes America's conspiracy law one of the most potent and expansive in the world. The United States has the most anti-human rights legal system on the planet. For example, under canon law used in France, they cannot compel any family member to testify against you. In the United States, they can imprison your children until they testify against you, but not your wife.
Wow.
Okay? The only privilege is granted to a spouse or to a priest. Then they will use divorce to get around that spouse rule. Under the canon law of the Catholic Church, the sanctity of the family unit becomes first. Under English common law, precedent takes precedent. We had a revolution against the king's tyranny, replacing him with local tyranny. That's it. That's what he said in the the movie The Patriot.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson. He said, why should I trade, you know,
one tyrant
2,000 miles away to 100 tyrants here 100 miles away?
Yep.
And, you know, they all got mad at him. They'd love to call Russia and China authoritarian and communist, but look at the stats. You have a 340% greater chance of going to jail in the United States compared to China.
Wow. That's
The United States has the highest percentage of its population in prison of any country in the world.
That is true.
So much for liberty. Spouse, suppose you lie to a government official, that's perjury punishable by 5 years in prison. If the government lies to you, it's legal. So police officers, they can lie to you while they're pursuing you or while they're interviewing you or basically interrogating you. They can lie, say anything they want to say, and it's okay.
Yeah.
That's the fact, by the way.
Yeah.
Without the rule of law, civilization crumbles. Courts rule in favor of the government. Rarely will you find a judge who will truly defend the Constitution, and good luck in prosecuting a judge or a prosecutor. I remember years ago, I had this crazy woman write me a bunch of horrible letters, and we took her to get a restraining order on her. Then we find out that the judge was best buddies with her grandfather.
Yep.
They're both high-level Masons, supposedly. And, of course, it never happened, and that she wasn't even rebuked by the judge. Austin was there. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I was in the courtroom.
And you wouldn't believe the letters that have been written. The sad part about it is that when they get to that level and they all know each other and they're all buddy buddies to the Masonic lodges, it's like the guy said, it's the county commissioner. It doesn't matter if the whole county shows up.
I remember because she took the fifth the whole time. Remember, reading the stuff that she had written to you. And I mean, it was some sick stuff. He's reading in the courtroom. He goes, so and so, did you write this? He reads it off. I take the fifth. Take the fifth.
And then he asked her a very poignant question that I thought was very apropos. Are you a witch?
Yeah.
I take the fifth. Did you and your other witch's coven try to put a curse on Dr. Brower? I take the fifth.
Yeah. I remember we got out of the courtroom. Was that one guy?
That one black
guy. Coming up. He walks up to us and he's like, I've heard some wild stuff in my days. Like, I've never seen anything like this. You're some other expert.
Well, he's a black guy. He goes. Here's what he said. I'm not going to use the word. I'll use an abbreviation. He goes, I've seen some crazy SH in my life. I ain't ever seen anything like this.
No,
she's a witch.
And I said, this is creepy. I got goosebumps in the courtroom. Like, join the club. We've been dealing with her for the last
years.
5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Psychotic.
Oh, gosh. Psychopaths. Oh, I tell you what, though. Once we shine that flashlight on her like that,
she shut her little mouth. Oh, yeah. Real quick.
Unbelievable.
What's not funny?
They don't like spotlights on cockroaches.
They're cockroaches. No. They live in the darkness.
Oh, by the way, mysterious ancient papyrus is now confirming the Bible story of the 10 plagues. I mean, we already knew it was real. It's in the Bible, for heaven's sakes. An ancient Egyptian manuscript may prove the biblical 10 plagues described in the book of Exodus. Known as the Ipuwu papyrus, the document takes the form of a poetic lament attributed to the scribe named Lepuwu. Whatever it is, Ipuwer. You guys can pronounce
it. You butchered that one.
I know. Ipuwu. Okay? I'm doing the best I can. Sometimes, you know, when I have stuff like that, I don't even say it.
Yeah.
The other day I was reading in front of the church, right?
Yeah.
And there's this really strange name for a one-hump camel.
Oh, yeah. There's some weird stuff.
I had to look it up. It's a camel. And so when I'm reading the scripture, I said, they bring the camel. I didn't say the name. I said camel. I didn't say the name. I thought, you know, nobody knows what it means anyhow.
No.
I might as well interpret this in front of the church. And nobody said anything to me. They're probably happy I said camel.
Well, it's easy. They probably heard the word. I'm like, what is that?
It recounts the widespread catastrophes, societal upheaval in ancient Egypt. I imagine that. Describing the famine, the mass death, and the environmental disasters. And it says, according to Exodus, God said, this is the Torah, by the way, God sent a series of devastating afflictions, including turning the Nile into blood, swarms of locusts, 3 days of darkness, to convince the Pharaoh to free the Israelites from slavery. And I mean, it's kind of interesting. And then it was so funny. This is the crazy part about this is like, all this stuff happens. And these I guess you'd call them the Jews, I guess, they basically get out. And God puts a big, you know, a big flame between them and the Egyptians. They can't get to him. And he gives them a cloud by day to keep them out of the heat of the desert. And then he splits the Red Sea and they trot across that. And then Moses goes up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And these same people that God just rescued from the slavery, they decide to have a human sacrifice orgy.
Yeah. Golden calf.
And they tell Aaron to go ahead and feature, and they said it's just
melt all the gold down.
Baal and Moloch, and they start worshiping other gods right there in front of God and Moses.
At the base of the mountain,
he comes down there. He's pretty hacked, and he picks up the things, he throws them down. The earth opens up, swallows a bunch of them up, kills a bunch of them. Kind of sounds like something we need to do to bankers nowadays.
Ooh, oh,
did I say that?
Well, the same people that did that actually turned into the bankers?
Well, what happened is we talked about this. So there were like 60 of these elders that were basically all Kabbalists, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan. Even then, they're practicing the ancient arts of the Egyptians and the Canaanites and the drinking of blood and human sacrifice. And that's why they went right back to the human sacrifice and the orgies and all that
kind of
stuff.
Well, that's the thing that I think a lot of people fail to realize. When you read this stuff and you understand with the Israelites and out in the desert, you got to understand that when they were in Egypt, they all were indoctrinated and ingrained with that
for 400
behavior
years.
With Egyptians, with the Satanism and all that stuff that the Egyptians were involved in. And so the problem with it was, you got to think, for 400 years, that's gin after gin after gin. So my dad did it. My granddad did it. My great-granddad did it. And so now it's like, well, why are we not doing it anymore? Now, since we have this new God, Yahweh, that we're following now. So there's quantity. Not, and I'm not cutting any slack for the perversion, but I'm saying that had to be a very strange generation.
Well,
to be involved
then, and then what happens is, and they go into the promised land, and Joshua and Caleb come back and say, we can go do this. And the rest of them had the Nephilim, they're the giants, like Goliath running around. And they said, we can't go in there, we're like grasshoppers of these guys.
Interesting analogy.
And God says to them, basically says, you know what? That's enough.
We're going to do,
like a bunch of little brats. You know, little brats. And he goes, all right, we're doing 40 more laps in the desert years.
And that's what it was. It was to eradicate that old generation.
No, he said, we're getting rid of all of you.
So the next generation that goes in, but you guys are going to be happy just to get out of the desert.
No, but guess what happened? The next generation that goes in were still indoctrinated by their parents, and they still started worshiping other idols.
We got to remember, when they got into those areas with the Nephilim were still actively involved in all this stuff, probably much worse because they're so how big they were. So all of a sudden, they're seeing all these idols, all these sacrificial platforms, all this stuff that was going in, and they're going, man, this stuff looks similar to what, you know, granddad talked about, dad told me about. Well, they're doing it over here. Look how successful they are. Look at all this area that they have. Right back into it. So, again, strange times.
And it's funny. In Deuteronomy, God says to Moses, you know, I tell you what, though. He says, you know, here's the problem. He says, because God's omnipresent.
Right.
Okay. He goes, as soon as you die, they're going to go right back to the way they were. They're going to start worshiping other idols again. And Moses says, oh, say it ain't so. I'm paraphrasing. And he does.
Moses he's like the only one that could keep them halfway controlled.
Oh, yeah.
Stop doing all this stuff. They listen to him. They didn't listen to Aaron.
Yeah, remember, though, Moses was also in the Pharaoh hierarchy. He was a priest. He was basically not a priest.
He's born in Egypt.
He's a prince.
Yeah.
Because he was adopted into that family.
Yeah.
So they trusted him.
Yeah.
You know, then
that's trying to think about it that way. Mm-hmm. So he grew up in that culture. He saw it.
And then he left and he came back to tell the Pharaoh to let him go. But the Pharaoh, they all knew who Moses was because he'd been raised
in
that hierarchy.
That's true. I didn't think about it. That's why they had so much respect for him.
Right.
Interesting.
That's why they didn't kill him.
Yeah.
Pharaoh didn't kill Moses. In the end, he tried to, but he sent him away into the desert. He could have killed him.
That's true. Because without the hand of God, Pharaoh's arm was huge. They were in Egypt. He didn't have to let him out.
Nope.
Finally, because after the 10 plagues.
Watch the movie, The Ten Commandments. You'll see the picture.
Get back.
Hey, I love you guys. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for supporting Health Masters.
Yes.
Thank you for doing the berberine. That stuff really works, by the way.
It does.
And my stomach's going way down. It's great.
You got to remember, it's not just external body
fat. It's internal fat.
It's internal body fat and also fat in the liver.
That's right.
The non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which has become a very serious problem.
That pushes the gut out. You may not have any fat to pinch, but you've got a bunch of fat inside.
Fat inside the gut, you got abs. Yeah. So beware of that, my friends.
You see that with bodybuilders with their liver swell up.
Oh, yeah, liver swell up on it. So, guys, check it out. On sale product of the week. Also, too, we got the other kit that's on sale, the stress management, adrenal support, cortisol buster, vitamin C. Great kit on sale right now for a big discount. So check that out along with the berberine. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for leaving reviews on these products. I really need those on there. I love having everybody be able to see them. Call us, email us, Team Health Masters. Give us feedback on the new website. We appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow, as always.
And remember, Jesus is the author, the finisher, and the perfecter of our faith. And he died for you and died for me. And we need to try to put him first in all the areas of life, all the time, the best we possibly can. But when we can't do that, there's always grace for us. But Paul said, you would continue to willfully sin after receive the knowledge of the truth. So by no means we died to sin. Always try to do the best you possibly can. That's all we can do. I love you guys. Have a good evening.
Appreciate y'all.